Welcome to the European CME Forum podcast. European CME Forum is a not-for-profit organization that promotes multi-channel discussion on matters relating to European and global CME CPD. My name is Eugene Pozniak. I'm the program director of European CME Forum. In today's episode, we present the most recent webinar from the Good CME Practice Group. The Good CME Practice Group, or GCMEP, is a membership organization for CME providers based in Europe. I'm also a member of this group, and we rotate roles and responsibilities, and it was my turn to moderate the discussion. In this webinar, I'm in conversation with Mia Hill of Scientific Education Support and Margarita Velcheva of Kennis Group. The focus of today's episode is measuring outcomes, current expectations and practice. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Measuring Outcomes, Current Expectations and Practice. My name is Eugene Pozniak. I'm Program Director of European CME Forum, but today I'm acting as Managing Director of CME Learning. We're an ACCME accredited education provider based in Europe, and I'm joined today by Mia Hill, who's acting Managing Director of Scientific Education Support, SES, and Margarita Velcheva, who's Manager of Continuing Education at the Kennis Group. Hi, good afternoon.
Hello, Eugene.
Hello.
So between us, we represent sort of small organizations, large organizations, young and old, but and we all sort of present different types of CME activities in Europe. And today's session, it's not supposed to be a training course on how to measure outcomes or measuring outcomes per se. And we've been careful with the title. What we're here to discuss today is what are the current expectations and practice, what actually goes on today in Europe, and to give you a bit of an idea of what ordinary providers do. So to start off with, actually, can we just discuss, you know, what do we mean by outcomes? What is it? What's the thing that's being measured? And maybe Margarita, can you start us off with that?
Thanks. Thank you, Eugene. Absolutely. So first of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to participate in this discussion. The idea of outcomes is really to focus on the effectiveness of the education and to give an idea of how we will have delivered what we are planning. And in Europe, we are familiar with Don Moore's outcomes framework for assessing learners and evaluating instructional activities, and we strictly follow that and apply that in practice. Essentially, the framework really emphasizes on the need to measure the change in performance, and that is associated with the educational intervention. And really, the idea here, or what we always focus on, is the idea of backward planning. So backward goal setting, the idea to start with the ultimate objective or the end goal in mind, and then work backwards from there to develop our plan. So, well, very briefly, that's how my idea of this is.
Excellent. No, thank you. That's a nice overview. Mia, do you want to add anything to that?
Thank you, Eugene. Yeah, I think, Margarita, just to touch on what you said about backwards planning there, to me, that's so important and something we do a lot of as well. So I think having that really robust needs assessment at the start to identify clear educational gaps and then making sure that your outcomes marry up to those. I think sometimes as providers, there's a pressure on us to measure higher level outcomes. And an assumption that this is always the best thing to do. And sometimes that's not the case, or it's not just possible. I think an idea which springs to mind in particular is the kind of clinical trial side of things. So in that scenario, a drug might not be indicated. It might not be possible to measure practice change, and knowledge change would be completely enough. So I think doing that kind of needs assessment, making sure that your outcomes measurement is tied to what you're trying to achieve in terms of learning objectives is really important.
Yeah, no, that's great. And it seems to be a real challenge for people to realize, you can only measure
after the educational activity, what you can measure at the beginning of the education activity. And there's no magic wand saying that if you just do a bit of education that you'll achieve some amazing outcomes. If you haven't measured it from the offset, then you can't look at it at the end of this, at the end of the process. So that's what these outcomes are. And why on earth would you want to measure them? And I know we sort of tried to plan this call ahead of today as well, and to try and think how to address this, because there are various reasons why we measure them. And so I'd like to address this question in three ways. One is, why do we as organizations do them? And then talk about the third parties who might want to ask education providers for outcomes. So why would we as an organization want to measure outcomes? Mia, what do you think about this?
Good question. So I think, as you said and alluded to, the latter part of this webinar, we'll be looking at one of the key reasons is it's expected of us as providers, and there are expectations put on us to measure outcomes by accredited providers, accreditation bodies, and also pharma. But I think if we were to put those to one side and look at us purely as an organization, I think we're intrinsically motivated to do it. And outcomes measurements are the only way of us knowing whether or not we've achieved what we set out to do in the first place and whether we've done a good enough job at it. So I think in measuring those outcomes, you can see, have you closed those educational gaps? And if you haven't, why not? And it also provides you with that extra detail to help empower you to plan your next educational interventions and make sure that you're continuing to improve and continue to close those gaps. So for us, I think it's really that intrinsic motivation. And actually, sometimes we have scenarios where we're not doing accredited work, so there isn't an onus to provide it from an accreditation standpoint. And it simply is that intrinsic motivation that has us do it, to make sure that we're providing good and high quality education that's making a difference.
Yeah, and it sounds like not all organizations really do this, you know, unless they're forced to actually do these outcomes. But as long as they hit their kind of, business objectives, they don't necessarily even measure this for themselves. But Margarita, can you comment a bit on this as well?
Absolutely. And I cannot agree more on this with Mia. Certainly, the objective for us is the same. But I think the complicated matter comes where we as providers engage with many different stakeholders, and we want to do everything according to the expectations and to satisfy the need of the different stakeholders. So when we would do outcome measurement for ourselves as well, but we sometimes also try to educate the stakeholders we work with, societies or different groups that we develop education for, and the requirements of the accreditors and so on, also the requirements of the funders. So there are many aspects of that are part of this process that we're all the time trying to focus on.
Yeah. Okay. And actually, let's stay with the accreditors for a moment then. So you as an organization, you're collecting these outcomes, and if you're getting your activities accredited, I understand most of yours are, what do the accreditors ask you for?
So essentially, all accreditors are asking for informational outcomes. So basically, what is the list of overall expected educational outcomes that we want to achieve? This is all asked for us to provide upon the submission of the accreditation application. And at the end, we also deliver the report, and we basically show what we aim to achieve and what we at the end achieve, so we can actually measure. Overall, the requirement across different accreditors is more or less the same. Sometimes we are requested for a little bit more detailed information, and other times it's a little bit more general. But essentially, the requirements are from the same spectrum.
Okay. And can you actually give some examples of what they're asking for? I mean, clearly they'll ask for number of learners and where they come from, but what else do they ask you?
On top of my head, information on what kind of questions we are asking for as part of the evaluation in order to see whether our objective will be achieved. So we are asked to describe what is the level of outcomes we aim to achieve. We always have in mind a realistic approach to the outcome. So if for educational activities that are with large volume, we often can reach a certain level just because the follow-up after that is not possible. So let's say information, participation, satisfaction, that's the highest level we can reach. So we try to really focus on the realistic aspect of the outcome. Most of the times, it's questions that we will include in the evaluation, in the post-event evaluation of the activity.
Sure. So as you're talking about the levels, it's the kind of thing that there's satisfaction level two. How pleased are you with the education that's been presented online or at the meeting? Level three being knowledge. You can test their knowledge, which the European accreditors like to ask for. And then something we've started seeing recently is the level four question, as a result of participating in this activity, what would you do? I ask the people to specify what they may do differently in their practice. Mia, what is your approach with this? What have you seen from the accreditors?
So I think in terms of our approach, actually harking back to what we said at the start on the backwards planning, that's very much our approach. I think, Margarita, you touched on accreditation broadly having the same requirements, but there are differences. And we have so many accreditors in Europe, but country to country, speciality, that I think empowering ourselves with that information up front, so actually looking at what the requirements are from that accreditor, allows us then to plan our outcomes measurement and make sure that we can complete the forms and fill in what is expected of us. Because there's nothing worse than getting halfway through an educational intervention or even right at the end of it and going, oh no, we don't have this information. Like you said right at the start, Eugene, there's not a magic wand where you can magic them into appearance. So again, I think it's that importance of the backwards planning and looking at what those accreditors are asking for up front so that you can then plan your outcomes methodology and try and make it fit, because they are just vast in terms of what they're asking for. And there are quite a few differences, as there are similarities as well. Eugene, I don't know from your perspective as an ACCME accredited provider, what you would add to this as a...
So now on the from an accreditor's perspective, the ACCME asks, actually, for actual data, they ask for top line data of participation and the financial side of things as well. But as an accredited provider, we have also submitted to ACCME our processes for measuring outcomes. So it's everything that we're discussing here, but there's an expectation that it's all documented, analyzed, and also acted upon as well. So that's the main sort of difference, because the accreditation system expects providers to do all of this, but also to improve their own practice and to share it as well. So there are lots of examples of providers actually publishing their outcomes, perhaps posters at conferences or even as manuscripts in the Journal of CME and other journals, etc., to actually to promote the sharing of best practice. So the outcomes from an accreditative perspective, there's more encouragement to share it, analyze it as well than we see in Europe. And that's possibly seen as best practice. I mean, I certainly would like to see much more of this going on in Europe. And one of the routes where we are seeing providers are being, let's say, persuaded or encouraged to look at their own outcomes is actually from industry. And I see some questions have already come in. And Christine and Sarah, if we take your questions first, because this is quite nice. So talking about levels of outcome, you both mentioned level five outcomes, where we're talking about actual clinical behavior which we've been careful not to sort of address too much, because most CME activities that are accredited in Europe are actually, you know, not looking at actual clinical practice, for which you need access to sort of patient notes and things. However, drug companies, when they issue their requests for proposals, the RFPs, and the way they fund activities, are keen to see education that actually makes a change in practice. So I'm just looking at both your questions and then so turn it into a question for our panelists here. So actually, how about requirements and requests from pharma? Margarita, let's start. How about describing your experiences and expectations from pharma companies, and how do you address that in that sort of the grant situation?
So with our experience working with the grantors, oftentimes we face working with different systems. Every company would have their own, let's say, portal or sort of process in place where we can, we have to submit a lot of information and give details on, you know, how the event is planned, what we aim to achieve, how we aim to evaluate that. Also, and at the end, we will give the details of what we actually have evaluated, exactly what you were saying, the intent to change, what has changed. The reporting, it's different. So we see differences between Europe and the US. So companies are asking for sometimes very extensive reports with long data. It really varies.
Yeah. Amir, do you see much variation yourself as well between companies?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of variation from company to company in terms of what they're looking for. Some of them have got very kind of robust templates that they ask you to complete, and they're asking all of their providers who they've supported education for to complete this so that they can then analyze and compare what difference the education has made. So I think, again, familiarizing yourselves with those reports up front is really important. We also, as an organization, sometimes accept sponsorships as well for our education. We still run it at arm's length, and in line with the pillars of the Good CME Practice Group. But what we find there is actually there's very little onus when the money's coming from a sponsorship to provide any outcomes at all beyond kind of participation and sometimes satisfaction. So there actually we're going above and beyond and back to that intrinsic motivation to measure outcomes as provider and providing that extra information back to those companies. And I think sometimes going back to the question from the audience, Christine was asking about measuring that level five and whether or not pharma companies are asking for level five to be measured. From what I'm seeing, not really. They're asking for level three upwards in the cases of the grants departments. And again, I think it's about marrying up your learning objectives to the outcomes that you're measuring. And sometimes that level five isn't needed. I think if they can have it, and if it's, you know, possible to achieve it, and if it's the right appropriate circumstance, then of course they're going to want it, because ultimately they're providing funding and they want to show our funding has made a difference in, be it in knowledge improvement, be it in practice change, or in changing patient outcomes. So I think it varies, but when they assess it, they're able to see upfront what we're planning on doing and would sign it off based on that knowledge. So
sure. Yeah. So if it's a meeting for 1,000 people, you're not going to be able to evaluate their actual clinical practice. But if it's a series of workshops in a hospital with 4 or 5 people, the team or something, then of course it's something you can look at. And of course it's all CME accreditable and valid educational activities in this way. And I should say, actually, from our side, there are even some companies that just ask a single question in the portal saying, have you spent the money according to the grant application you made in the first place, and it's no more than a checkbox saying yes, it's completed. 23 people came in, and that's it, and that's enough. So it does vary widely, hugely, you know, from the long reports that you've both described to just confirmation that the funding has been spent appropriately and in line with the request. So with this, Dean has come in with a question. This is quite good, because of course it's all well and good talking about measuring outcomes and saying, oh, we do these evaluation reports and everything, but the percentage of people who complete this can be tiny, and it could even go into single digits. And actually, I do ask everyone on this call, whether you're submitting questions or not, straight away when the webinar finishes, there's an evaluation form that you'll see. Do please hold back and just give your thoughts on what we discussed here. And there is a crucial new question in there as well, asking if we do something about measuring outcomes, or indeed anything to do with CME related to accredited CME in Europe, please share your opinion there. But we know as well that we'll never get 100% of people coming in. But Dean asks specifically, do you have any tips or tricks as to how to encourage a higher sort of rate of completion to gain this valuable feedback from our learners? What have you seen, or what have you done? Can you share any secrets there?
Do you want to go to ask Margarita, or should I?
Maybe I can start with a few secrets or tips, and yeah, you can add what you are doing with your organization. So essentially, we try to go around the incentive bit, so try to incentivize people to share their feedback and to really give us to really be engaged in the post-event evaluation that we're developing by adding a certificate at the end of the survey. So they're encouraged to fill in the feedback, and we also mentioned that, of course, the feedback that they're giving will help us improve future educational offerings. And so we try to incentivize to offer some kind of maybe entrance to a workshop or to activity or a raffle or these kind of things.
I think it's a really interesting question, and actually the next part of the webinar we were going to talk about was the future and what we see in the future. And I was thinking on that and thinking, well, it's very difficult to predict what we see in the future, but a future challenge that I would love to kind of solve and work on in the near future is just what Dean's asked. How do you get these people to engage in the outcomes? Because it's all well and good as a provider having that robust outcomes methodology, knowing you've done everything correctly, but if you don't have anyone engage in it, you're not going to get those outcomes results. And I do think it's a real challenge, especially where the education that we're providing as providers is geared towards these healthcare professionals who are super busy. You want to provide education that they can do quickly or on the go. And it's hard to measure outcomes for that scenario of education, particularly that kind of micro-learning, where sometimes the outcomes measurements are longer than the educational intervention itself. So it's a really good question, Dean, and one which I myself think is definitely a challenge for the future, and one which we should all come together to try and debate and work out answers to. Stuff which we've tried, competition, gamification, trying to appeal to people's competitive side and encourage them to share the results of their outcomes on social media. So if they've done well in a pre-test, post-test scenario, actually share and say, I took part in this education and look how I've improved. And I think that kind of setting their expectations at the start and talking about that kind of the why are you doing this education? And actually the pre-test is quite useful to almost shock them into realizing that they need that education. Gamification, trying to make it fun, leaderboards as well to add that competitive nature and get people participating, but definitely a challenging one and one I'd love to work on in the future.
Yeah. So it's nice. So generally, just for there to be a purpose to it and for people to feel there's some kind of reward coming back to the learners. I'm thinking from our own projects and the times where we get the highest quality feedback, not necessarily by volume, but the best quality is the long annual programs where we have a community of learners, and actually they can feel that we're listening to their feedback, as it were, and especially when the evaluation feeds into the needs assessment of the following year's activity or something, so they can feel that their opinion also counts. Mm-hmm. So it helps there, but it is a big challenge. And of course, everyone's got busy lives. We've got to be mindful of their time. They're not there to serve us, but yeah, make it fun, give them incentives and a purpose is nice.
So, and I wonder, looping in our last webinar actually on incorporating the patient voice, maybe that's something we could use as incentive, and actually getting that feedback from the patients for the healthcare professionals, if there was a way that we could do that to kind of appeal to that altruistic side. And I think that would be a lovely thing to try and do as well, so that could be a one to work on in the future.
Great. So now you've already mentioned that we'll try and come up with some final comments about thoughts for the future. Just before that, we've got quite a few questions coming in, but Emma, you come up with a good thing about, can you do a quick recap of the levels of outcomes that we're talking about? Are there 5 levels? No, actually, there's 7 levels. We haven't gone into all of these, but after this, we will be putting a recording of this webinar onto the GCMEP website. And what we'll do is we'll put in some links to resources. Yeah, a couple of people have said, well, where can you find best examples? How do you do it? So the actual education about measuring outcomes. So as European CME Forum, we've looked at a number of sources. So we'll do a link to that after this webinar on the website. But Brendan, that's great. This is you've actually kindly typed out everything. Where level 1 is participation, then it talks about satisfaction, knowledge, competence, performance, actually how people change. Then once you've changed their practice, you can look at the improved patient health of the individual. And then if you have loads of individuals having their health status changing, then you've got changes in community health as a whole. But now let's move to the future. So with your magic wands, I suppose, or just with your crystal balls, what do you see for the future when it comes to outcomes measurement, particularly in Europe? Mia, do you want to start with that?
Yeah, I think, as I said, I found this one really difficult to think what will happen in the future. And I tried to focus on what would I like to see happening in the future. And for me, it's the solution to some of these challenges. A key one being that kind of engagement of healthcare professionals in outcomes measurement. Ono has actually put in the chat here, should we define new outcomes measurements criteria for e-learning on the go? And I think that's a lovely point, and that's something which would be great to look at in the future is, how do we measure? Maybe actually the model we've got at the moment is too tricky to try and implement for this kind of fast-paced education or education on the go. So for me, it would be, looking at new models for measuring outcomes or new methodologies for measuring outcomes to suit the education of the future, which is this kind of fast-paced micro-learning education on the go and education via kind of social media platforms. So
great.
For me, that's my focus.
Lovely. And Margarita, and do you see any sort of groups actually influencing any changes as well? Well, what do you think?
Well, yes, certainly. So for me, it's sort of the collaboration and the alignment of all the different stakeholders. So perhaps thinking about accreditors, perhaps they should... Well, it would be good for them to be driving the quality of outcomes measurements, really analyzing and sharing the data for all of us to collaborate, to learn from best practices, to align, to share, successes and challenges in designing education, and to see exactly what Mia was saying, to see how we can improve that and to challenge the process, because perhaps we might be doing it not in the best possible way, but just, yeah, there is something that we're missing along the line to improve that.
Yeah, that's a good point there. And it's and it just shows, actually, between the community, all of us, yeah, certain drug companies might be asking for very detailed outcomes. The accreditors could be asking more. We ourselves need to evaluate our own performance as well. You know, are we achieving our own objectives? And for there to be much more education out there, more standardization. I think in Europe, that really, yeah, it would be good for the accreditors to actually step up and educate the providers on how, on what is best practice, and align everyone else to, yeah, just align all of us and to make things better on the European side. Okay, well, our time's up. Thank you very much for your time today, Mia, Margarita. It's great chatting with you about this. Thank you to everyone for joining us, and yeah, we look forward to seeing you next time. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
That was GCMEP members Margarita Velcheva and Mia Hill joining me to discuss measuring outcomes, current expectations, and practice. As mentioned in the webinar, links to some further reading and resources can be found on the GCMEP website. There's more information in the show notes. The Good CME Practice Group is a membership organization for CME providers based in Europe that aims to promote professionalism within the European CME provider community. More information can be found on the group's website, gcmep.org. Thank you for listening, and join us for more episodes as we explore all things CME CPD.